a game face on. Get ready for the tip off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports of what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.
That's right, we're back. All Balls Don't Bounce, episode 67, sports talk. How did you eloquently put it, sir?
Outside the box score.
That's right.
That wasn't me. That was said by a very wise man by the name of Dwayne Watson. You may know him as Sweets. You may know him as the Swishing and Dishing Petition. You know, word to Clyde Frazier.
Can you introduce yourself, sir? Since you did such a good job of introducing me.
I am the entrepreneurial Wall Street Will Strickland back. Caught you looking for the same thing. You know what it is. And your name, sir?
Dwayne Sweets Watson, as you aptly said. Episode 67. You know there's three NHL players in the league with number 67.
Who?
I don't remember. There's some French guys. One guy, and now his name's eluding me. He's an Italianish. Max something.
Frank Coretti.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. My hockey knowledge is hot, son.
Always.
Come on
always.
Now.
Who else you got?
Oh, well, you know, Bob Kuchenberg.
Of course.
Played for the Miami Dolphins. You go Reggie McKenzie, you know, the electric company in Buffalo, blocking for the Juice.
The lineman got to have the numbers, you know. You got it.
So, even in baseball, Francisco Cordova.
Oh.
Shout out to Omar. I can't remember Omar's last name right now, but he's our people on. Of course, he's part of the ABDB fam.
And you should be, because you'd probably be down with us on Twitter at ABD Media or on Facebook.com/ABD Media.
Yes, sir.
You can hit us up at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. Definitely give us some love at the iTunes Music Store and listen, download, and share on
Stitcher Radio.
That falsetto is so mean.
But you know what? They can also catch us on our all basketball program.
That's right.
On the ESPN of Canada.
Which is called TSN.
Yes, sir.
One-on-one with Will and Dwayne every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, but they keep moving us around, you know, from time to time because of, events.
Well, they have the NBA games on through ESPN. So sometimes they want to throw us on after doublehead or whatever, but
I think they think just because we're black, we can dance. So that's why they move us around so much. Whatever. That is definitely a blessing, you guys. Make sure to check us out. We also have, we're on Facebook and Twitter at TSN Radio 1-on-1.
Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. We got episodes up. You can check that out. It's all good, man. We're always talking sports, talking hoops, but as we do.
Let's get in to this thing we call All Balls Don't Bounce. If you are unaware, the Blade Runner.
My favorite Olympian. If you've listened to the show.
Yeah, right.
You know I'm a fan.
No doubt. And you probably set him up.
He did enough to set himself up.
No doubt. And it would seem, though, Oscar Pistorius was formally charged with murdering his... his ex-girlfriend, because she's not living anymore. I'm just saying. No, I'm not trying to be funny.
Late girlfriend.
I was trying to find the right words.
Reeven Steenkamp.
And
a model.
Yeah.
Who was, he was shot. Basically, if you're not familiar with the story, Pistorius thought there was a burglar in his house.
On Valentine's Day.
In his electrically fenced guarded home.
Right. And I don't think his bathroom has a window that you can access from the ground or anything, I'm not mistaken. And so unless somebody Spider-Man'd up his wall somehow and climbed through the window.
Well, also, too, it's like the first thing I want to do when I run around home, instead of casing the joint, is going to take a dump.
Right. Or if I'm getting shot at and I get shot once, I'm not going to stay in the bathroom. I'm going to run out and try to get out of the house, right? But instead, whoever it was, and it ended up being his girlfriend, so stays in the bathroom and he dumps three more bucks through the door to ensure that he got who he's looking for.
Yeah, there's a lot of the thing is, there's a lot of inconsistent stories in this case. With the story is a story, and unfortunately, as it's unraveling, the prosecution story.
The prosecution, hey, even Pistorius's brother, because it's inherited, it runs in the family.
Oh.
I'm just saying. His brother is up. Kurt is up on a murder charge too.
Yeah, but that's some vehicular homicide stuff. That's not like he went and shot someone in the bathroom too.
It might be hereditary. I'm just saying. No, but and this is not to make light of the lives that were lost. But this is, you know, people try to compare this to the OJ case with the inconsistencies in the stories on both sides.
Right.
And this is probably, I guess you can call it, you know, I would call it the new OJ story.
Yeah,
I
mean, there are some consistencies. You look at, obviously, overzealous prosecution, profiled athlete. Everyone knows he's probably guilty. Past history of abuse in the situation as well.
And then, you know, a case of possible roid rage. They said they found, you know.
But that's the question now.
Right.
I mean, Who knows?
No. Yeah. But all right, it's a valid question based on what they found. And you think about the murder-suicide death of wrestler Chris Benoit and his wife and family several years ago. It's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah, well, to be continued, right? It's still unraveling, and it's going to be a highly profiled case. A lot of endorsers have also dropped him as well.
Yeah. Just don't do it anymore, Nike. Just don't do it.
Well, who is doing it?
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks of the NHL.
Some hockey talk. Greatest start in the history of the National Hockey League by the Blackhawks. They were 14-0-3 to start the season. And the last time a team started off this well, they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So,
well, you know, Mr. Strickland, as you know, and as we often say, it's not about how you start.
It's how you finish. But, you know, history is on their side. And so, shout out to the Chicago Blackhawks, my man Patrick Kane on that team.
Yep.
Jonathan Toews. I know a couple of guys on the team. I like those guys.
Well, speaking of a hockey finish, the worst. So obviously, if you're not familiar, because we are in Toronto, in Canada, customarily after a hockey game, both teams line up, shake hands.
Show, you know what? Sportsmanship.
Exactly. One coach in Vancouver, now mind you, this is youth hockey. This isn't like Roman. This is youth hockey.
13 and 14-year-old kids.
Now, as they're shaking hands, the coach is, and this is on video, which we'll post on the Facebook.
Yes, sir.
Trips the best player on the team.
On the other team.
On the other team.
Because they lost.
Right. And he trips. It was a sweeping. It was like a foot sweep. It wasn't a trip. Because he tripped two guys.
Sweep the leg!
And he broke a player's arm.
The kid's going to be in the cast.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He claimed he slipped. When you see this video.
There's no.
Come on.
Yeah. If you didn't see it, you can go. It's hockey. You're walking in shoes on ice. It's possible. Nah. He didn't slip. He went. He just gave a little.
And here's the best part. Trayvon Martin's killer is still free and not in jail. This dude is about to do 15 days in jail for sweeping the leg of this kid.
You got to remember, Trayvon Martin was killed in the province of British Columbia to be swift justice.
You would think so. So shout out to them, and hopefully this kid gets better soon. So, yeah, this coach is out of control, man. You know who else is out of control?
Aren't they always out of control?
The as usual, the National Collegiate. What is it? I forgot.
Athletic Association?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow. How can I not remember what the NCAA stands for? Because I was thinking about National Basketball Association.
Because isn't that corrupt in a different language?
Yeah, it is. It must be. Is that in English that it's called corrupt? But if you didn't know, this big case with Nevin Shapiro, who is the booster, who is supposedly given, I guess, over $170,000 to student-athletes at the school for a couple of years.
University of Miami.
Yeah. Big investigation by the NCAA, and in their haste to strike down the evil empire that is the University of Miami.
Right.
I'm telling you, they still, you know, taste that bitter taste in their mouth from Howard Snellenberger and Jimmy Johnson and that whole thing. To try and tear that program down.
Well, they admitted there was some... Can I break out the air quotes, sir?
Go ahead, please.
There were some missteps and insufficient oversight in the investigation.
Means that they fucked up.
Exactly.
And it still doesn't mean that they've come full circle and said, we've totally gone off the reservation here. We were wrong. And we should do this a little differently. There's still going to be sanctions against Miami.
Of course.
And they're, you know, heads rolled at the NCAA offices.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll find out more about this. The point of the matter is, the whole way that the NCAA is structured and the draconian rules that they have to be revisited, and there has to be some sort of oversight outside of the NCAA to make it work better.
Yeah, the problem is that there's who's policing them.
Right.
And that's why this happens. And we saw even with the Shabazz Muhammad case, whatnot. And hopefully as more of these things come to light, they'll be a little more harder on themselves.
Yeah, well, I'm
being an optimist.
You are being an optimist. They might be in Alabama soon, seeing a young man, because the University of Alabama and Louisiana State University offered an eighth grader a football scholarship. But this is not a regular eighth grader.
Yeah, 6'1" and 215 pounds.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he's probably running the 40 better than a lot of kids at the combine right now.
Dylan Moses ran a 4.4 40. He's in the fourth grade or eighth grade. Fourth grade would have been crazy, but no, and it's unfortunate, but this is the world we live in, that the recruiting starts so early. It's not like this is a new thing. LeBron James was on the front of Sports Illustrated at 13.
Yeah,
so it's just amazing that. Now, these kids, especially a football player, who feeds this beast? Like, he's huge for 14 years old.
Hey, in the South, man. Alabama. University of Alabama high school kid. I mean, he's playing against other high school kids, but he looks like...
Grown man.
Yeah.
Grown man. But it's just interesting that they offered him a scholarship in the eighth grade. It's not the first. It definitely won't be the last. Maybe he'll have a cute name like the Honey Badger or... Johnny Football.
Johnny Football. His name means money.
It does, but he can't collect on that money.
Because he's still a student athlete.
Yeah. The second use of air quotes today?
I didn't have to use... Actually, that's kind of yours, because that's your carbon one, so...
But I didn't use that. Anyway. Yeah,
you put it down,
though. If you didn't know, Heisman-winning quarterback from Texas A&M University, Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, has, you know, created an infringement lawsuit.
Yep. Against a company for using the Keep Calm meme. Keep Calm and Johnny Football. And he was like, hey, that's my name.
Right.
You can't make money off my name.
Right.
I was going to say that's my daddy's name, but it's not his daddy's name.
But here's the thing. Texas A&M, they were making T-shirts and all kinds of stuff with his name on it. I'm wondering who profits there. And it all goes back. When you see stuff like this or the Honey Badger or any of that,
yeah,
the first person I think about is Jalen Rose and how he in the Fab Five documentary talked about how, you know, he was sleeping in hats and sweaters and somebody else was buying his Nike socks and, you know,
and his jersey with his number jersey, on it.
That's clearly, you know, it's his jersey.
Exactly.
But he didn't make a dime. But the University of Michigan did.
And we know Texas A&M is making money off of Johnny Football. And I mean, does that make it okay? Maybe it's okay for them to.
And here's the best part about this. You know that somebody, even though they're saying they're keeping this money in a trust because he, you know, owns this name, Johnny Manziel, because of his celebrity, is now taking all of his classes online.
Oh, because he can't go to class anymore?
Right, right. But, you know, it's Johnny Football. It's Johnny Football. Now, if, say, another student athlete who might have had, you know what, I'm not going to even go there with the Melodyn conversation.
Yeah, because I'm sure we'll get a chance to get into it.
Oh, we will. The next time that somebody wins the Heisman but wants to go to class and how people review this, because it's interesting that no one spoke about this. Now, I haven't heard a lot about it.
Hey, you know what, though? There'll be time. He's still in school. There'll be time. I'm sure.
Money. He's taking all of his courses online because of his celebrity.
So
stop playing.
So when you do that, pre-Heisman he started doing that? Like, because he was still finishing a semester. Like, when did he change it over?
I just saw that this upcoming year, that's what he's going to do.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But the bottom line, dude, you're a student athlete. So now you're a celebrity now. It's not about student athlete anymore. And this is, he's setting a precedent, though, Dwayne.
Johnny Correspondence Student?
Oh, wow. You reached.
I know.
Well, you reached.
Well, you know what is reached? The World Baseball Classic. I'm sorry. I don't really care.
You know what? I like baseball.
I like baseball too.
I like the beginning of the season. Yeah, I like the idea that the spring is coming.
That's fantastic, but, and I'm not knocking baseball, but the World Baseball Classic is not, there isn't a global balance of athletes, balance, where different countries is like, oh, okay, you have superpowers and then you have smaller powers.
Well, you know who won the past couple of years, right?
Not the U.S.
I think it's Japan or Korea or somebody that won it.
Right. I mean, you know, okay, so you got Japan, Korea, Taiwan, U.S., probably Dominican, and Cuba, right?
Yeah, and soon, Uganda was it.
I was looking to see if they qualified.
I was too. I was looking for it.
To qualify. You know, Uganda's got the Little League action on lock right now.
No doubt. But, you know, the classic starts early next month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of players in the major leagues who do want to play.
Yeah, for sure.
But does it have the same cachet as, like, the World Series?
Of course not. You're never going to – international play is never going to have the same – like, the World Cup of basketball does not have the cachet as NBA championships.
But the World Cup of footy.
Yeah, but – yes, but you know what, though? The World Cup of footy is bigger as global, but the UEFA Cup is almost as big as the World Cup. And that's the clubs playing. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I found it interesting. I didn't know Spain had a team. Italy had a team.
I don't know any Italian baseball players.
I know. But
I have no idea. Who could be? I don't know. I have no idea.
What about that Canadian kid who plays for the Pirates?
Russell Martin.
Russell Martin, a catcher.
Who? Yeah, he told Team Canada,
I'll come play.
If I get to play shortstop. But he's a catcher.
What kind of shit is that?
One, what kind of juice does Russell Martin have? He's not Russell Peters. His name is Russell Martin.
It doesn't even matter. It's like, he's playing, I want to come play out of position. If not, I'm not going to play.
Whatever. That's crazy. Congratulations to all the players playing in the World Baseball Classic. I'm going to be following a little bit.
Yeah.
I am. Baseball was my first love, so I'm going to be honest about that. But there are people who are going to be chasing their second loves, because we're going to wish them happy trails. First off, Matt Burke, the center for the world champion Baltimore Ravens, is calling it a day. You know, six Pro Bowls in his career, Harvard educated, you know. He's just saying, I'm old, man. I'm old. It's time for me to go. I got six kids. I want to see them, you know, grow up.
I like that he took his time and waited to do that away from the whole Ray Lewis.
Absolutely. It's a respect thing. Yeah. It's a respect thing. Exactly. So, happy drills to Matt Burke and also to Joe Garagioli. I can't even say
Garagiola,
his name.
I believe.
You know, I used to like him when he was, I can't say that. When they were on NBC, when they used to do the World Series on NBC, he was a big part of it back in the day. He's been announcing for 58 years. He
just 58 years.
It's almost as old as... I didn't say anything.
It's okay.
I just left it at that. But he used to do the... what is it? Taste Great, Less Filling... What is it? Miller Lite commercials back in the day. Yeah. Joe Garagiola. Wish you well in the rest of your life. So,
happy trails.
No doubt. Moving forward, want to give congratulations to a young man who has a very special story.
Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah. Just signed a letter of intent to play football at the University of Central Florida. He has one hand.
That's one hand, like?
Like, one hand. He's a defensive back with one hand. He played in played in the International Bowl, which is a high school all-star game, right before he signed. And his whole we got to post this.
Yeah, definitely.
We got to post this. But he had a condition called
amniotic band syndrome. Basically, where the amniotic sac was wrapped around his wrist and cut off circulation and severely affected the development of his hand, so his hand didn't develop. So he has one right hand, yet he has a twin brother, actually, as well.
Shaquille Griffin. I wonder how many Shaquilles are out there in the world. Because
well, they spelled it differently. There's no E on Shaquille.
Doesn't matter. Griffin, you know, I mean, that's not like the most common name.
It's not at all.
You know, it wasn't like they named him Dwayne.
I know.
You know, not
it's okay.
But,
yeah, but that's, I mean, he plays just as effectively with one hand, and that's great.
He's and we talked about a young man down in Florida who played basketball.
Yeah.
Who had a similar situation. So congrats to Shaquem, or Shaquem, as his name looks like it says. But we also want to give stats to the Black College Hall of Fame inductees. Were you aware that there was a Black College?
You know what's so funny? I was off the Hall sidebar for a minute. I had a discussion with my friend Big C, mm-hmm. and he was dissing the NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame, saying, you know, you guys let anyone in there. And I was like, well, you got to recognize, you know, internationally, whatever.
Right. It's not and the then, NBA Hall of Fame.
What I wasn't aware of is that the Pro Football Hall of Fame only recognizes NFL and AFL players.
Because they think this is the only pro league, even though CFL exactly. is older than the NFL.
Exactly. So then from there, there's obviously the Black Football Hall of Fame. There's the College Football Hall of Fame.
You know, when you think about basketball and its nature around the world and its love around the world, like not everybody plays football. It's a game you can play by yourself. You know, you can play it with a sock and an old wire hanger. Exactly. Like, it doesn't really matter. Yep. You can't do that with football.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter about gender.
No doubt.
But we got to salute those inducted.
Elvin Bethea, who was episode 63.
Yes.
You know, shout out to our man Joe Gilliam, who was the quarterback for the Steelers before Terry Bradshaw.
Right.
He was that guy. Ken Houston, yeah.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
Oh, yeah, of course. You got to talk about him. Larry Little, who was also... what episode
was
Larry?
That's right.
Episode
that.
66. The yep. last one, Larry Little.
And Shannon No Sock Sharp.
Why is... No Sock?
Have you seen this guy? When they come out of the desk and do like the coffee table panel...
He doesn't have his socks on?
He doesn't wear no socks, dude. And then I mentioned it. Someone's like, yeah, he never wears socks.
That's funny.
Dress shoes, no socks.
Yeah, that's old. That's old man shit.
That's some country old man shit.
No shit.
I'm sorry.
But congratulations to all of them. Since we're talking about Halls of Fame.
Okay.
Shout out to C. Vivian Stringer.
Yep.
A Hall of Famer already, who just amassed her 900th win.
900 wins, women's college basketball.
Yeah. She's the coach at Rutgers University. Former home of Dwayne's very good friend, Tammy Sutton Brown, for the Indiana Fever of the WNBA, who played for Coach Stringer there. And she is the only woman or only coach ever. And it's interesting because there are three other women who won 900 games in college basketball. Pat Summitt, of course. Jody Conrad at University of Texas. And Sylvia Hatchell at UNC.
Right.
So she's the fourth.
But only three men
have
reached 900 wins.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She's the first coach, men's or women's, to take three different schools to the Final Fours.
Wow.
So congrats to Coach
Stringer.
Yeah,
She did, yeah, exactly.
And we talked about Hall of Fame. She's already in.
Yeah.
The Naismith Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the basketball one has released his list of inductees.
Some nominations.
You know,
the glove leads the list, but I'm kind of mad at that. I got a beef.
You got a beef?
Well, I got a beef.
Well, let's go through. So, obviously, you know, Gary Payton has been nominated. Mitch Richmond. Mm-hmm. Tim Hardaway. Mo Cheek still hasn't got in. And, of course, the perennial guy who hasn't got in is Bernard King.
Yeah.
But why are you mad?
Bernard King.
Well, yeah. Of course.
Bernard King.
But don't be mad at Payton because Payton...
I'm not mad at Payton.
Payton he's just got eligible. So they're always going to talk about the guys who got eligible first.
Yeah.
But they got to get the guys like Bernard King should be in there.
I will. Other people who are on that list include the Shark, Jerry Tarkanian.
Yeah.
Guy V. Lewis, the former head coach of the University of Houston, Phi Slamma Jamma. Yeah. You know, Rick Pitino.
Yep.
That's funny to me.
Tommy Heinsohn. Get Tommy points.
Yeah, right. Drink a little scotch in the sideline, Tommy. Roger Brown from the ABA. Dawn Staley.
Yeah, who definitely should be in there.
You know,
three-time gold medalist.
She'll definitely be in.
Sylvia Hatchell as well.
And Spencer Haywood, who a lot of people don't know, was the guy, the first guy who challenged the eligibility rules for the NBA and university. He was one of the first ones back in like 1968, 69. So
that's interesting.
It is.
Speaking of challenging NCAA eligibility,
yo, shout out to young Andrew Wiggins, man.
Yeah, the Naismith High School Player of the Year.
Yeah, and
before the season's even over,
that's how good he is. And the best part is, I know our shout out means a whole lot, probably the world to him. But what means probably just as much is that the Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, gave him some burn on Twitter.
Yeah, I got to admit, I was very surprised.
He said, hey, I just heard. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure they passed that across your desk. But whatever, shouts out to young Andrew, and congratulations to him. He's got
wherever his journeys may take him.
We don't know.
No.
Do we?
No, we don't.
But want to send a rest in power shout out to my man Tyrone Evans. You might not know him by that name. Some people may know him by his street name, Ali Mo, who was one of the original and one streetball performers. A guy I played in summer leagues against and with in New York City, and he passed away from a seizure. Apparently.
Yeah, I believe he had diabetes.
Yeah.
He was battling for a while, and unfortunately, he passed away. How was he? I mean, obviously, I've seen him, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen him on the A1 mixtape, and he was nice, but how was he as a baller in a game?
He could play.
Right.
He could play. I mean, you do all, they clown or whatever.
Of course.
But he could play basketball, period. Right. And he was always a genuinely cool guy. I was so shocked when I heard this on the internet. That he had passed, but rest in power, Ali Mo, who had, huge battles. They had a one-on-one mixtape with him and Rafer Austley. We should actually post this.
We should, yeah.
So people can know.
The A1 phenomenon was some real...
I was on the second mixtape.
Oh, were you really?
On the second one where they did most of it in New Jersey, because I played in a couple of leagues out there.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. If you find the second A1 mixtape, your man... The Entrepreneur, Mr. All Day Every Day, is on there.
I used to have the whole series.
Do you have it?
I don't have it right now.
If we find a clip, we're going to post it up.
We'll just look for it on YouTube.
Yeah. But
let's do some birthdays.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy birthday to the Papa Bear, George Halas, who had a birthday this month during Black History Month. Oscar De La Hoya had a birthday.
The Pantyhose Bandit.
Yes, sir. Hammer and Hank Aaron had a birthday. Threw a little footy in there for sweets with Cristiano Ronaldo, the Babe. Babe Ruth had a birthday. Steve Nash.
Okay.
Yeah, Eddie Robinson, the winningest coach in major college football history. Coach Rob had a birthday. The winningest coach in men's basketball history. Mike Krzyzewski. Try to say his name the way it's actually spelled. It'll mess you up.
Never.
Anyway, John McEnroe had a birthday.
Okay.
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Phil Knight.
Yeah. If you don't know who Phil Knight is, you should take your shoes off. And we will help you, in the words of Willie Dennis, to read these Nikes. And we want to send a birthday shout out to Manon Rayon.
Who's Manon Rayon, you may ask?
Well, she was the first woman to ever play in an NHL game. Now, it was a preseason game.
It was a preseason game.
But she still played.
Yeah.
So, shout out to her. Her birthday just passed not too long ago.
That was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, crazy, when she played.
But you know what's funny? That was 10 years ago, and there hasn't been anything even as close to
anyone even trying out. Like, I haven't,
But the women's hockey has developed since then.
Well, it's still only two teams in women's hockey.
No, but in terms of players. There's still, like...
Why would they try out?
I don't know.
We'll see. But she was the first, and she was a goalie, too, so she definitely has some heat on her.
Yeah.
If she's just a position player, it's a little different.
Of course.
But, shout out to the best to do it right now. Money Mayweather got a birthday not too long ago.
Yep.
and wanted to give two Black History Month closeout shouts out.
In the nick of time.
No doubt. To Mr. Monty Irvin, who was a teammate of the great Willie Mays in San Francisco when they played for the Giants, formed the first all-Black outfield in Major League Baseball history.
Wow.
Right? So he had a birthday. And also Mr. Elston Howard, who was a Yankee and the first MVP in the American League, or Black MVP,
right,
in the American League in 1963. So, you know, Black History Month going out with a bang. Happy birthday to everyone. And we're going to start, speaking about Black, we're going to start it off talking a little rampant Black redneckery.
As we do at this time.
Yeah, now we had anticipated having a very special guest on who we'll talk about in a second. But Mr. Watson put me up on a very interesting story. Mr. Watson, if you would, please.
You know, it's interesting, and it's not entirely interesting because the spin of the story isn't as true as what it could have been. But getting back to our rampant Black redneckery. What's his name? John, what's his first name?
Damon John.
Thank you. Damon John, who you may remember from the FUBU Empire.
Who remembers FUBU?
Yeah.
Wait. I was listening for the crickets.
If you remember FUBU, you also would remember that they used to have pizza at McDonald's.
And fried chicken, yo. In New York, they had fried chicken. In New York, they had fried chicken.
That must have been one of those regional things they had or whatever.
In New York, they had pizza and fried chicken.
I think I remember fried chicken a bit, but...
At damn McDonald's.
And the pizza at McDonald's is actually pretty good. I'm not going to fret.
Whatever.
But
if you remember that, you remember FUBU.
Exactly. So Mr. John's been part of Shark Tank, which I don't watch. Do you watch the show?
No, but Mark Cuban's on the show.
I know that, exactly. And he was trying to find a new young face for NASCAR, well, for sport. And he had dalliances with Lennox Lewis, trying to do some stuff with him. But obviously...
Lennox did actually wear FUBU in a couple of fights.
And that's when it was super hot.
Right.
But obviously learning that, you know, NASCAR is the future, is one of the roads to future of sport, which is why we acknowledge it.
Right.
And he was trying to find a face or a racer that would fit in with the new, you know, not a contemporary feel, whatever.
Right.
And that individual was Alex Bowman.
And Alex Bowman, a 19-year-old young white guy from Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, exactly. Which isn't the hotbed.
No, for NASCAR, no, it's not. But, you
which
know.
Which kind of played into to what his vision was for trying to find a different lane, if I can say that.
So apropos.
Exactly. And yeah, he's had a great career thus far, and they're just working under some sponsorship with him.
Well, see, the whole thing with me and looking at like how Damon is talked about, well, you know, I took Kim and Khloe Kardashian when nobody knew who they were and made them stars, and I made Pitbull a star, and I think I can do it with this kid. And I'm like,
there's a difference between celebrities
And
sports, because it's still based on your performance. And
you got to do something.
As we look at, you know, Danica Patrick.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you didn't know, they ran the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
And Danica Patrick was the first woman to ever get the pole position or win the pole position for the race. Now, there are a lot of crass jokes that came as a result.
Of course.
I made a couple myself. I can't lie.
Guilty as charged.
You know, but at the end of the day, she was actually leading in the race some laps and ended up eighth. She finished eighth, which I think is a great finish. It's not winning it, but, you know, with all the hype and the GoDaddy and all this stuff, like we've been wanting Danica Patrick to at least win something.
Yeah, and I mean, I think... there's been definite hype and there's been, you know, marketing. And I think just based on, like, you kind of want at some point to balance out. Like, it's like you don't want her to be heralded for the fact that she's a woman, but for the fact that she can actually compete.
Right. And she showed that she can compete, but the eventual winner, car number 48, Jimmy Johnson, won it at the end of the race. And there were a lot of people who were, like, starting to take Danica Patrick a little more seriously now. And this was, I guess, part of the reason and rationale behind us wanting to have Tia Norfleet on the show today, who, if you're unfamiliar with who she is, She is a black NASCAR driver. She is sponsored. She drives the number 34 car. And we wanted to have her to come on and talk about, you know, her place and how she sees, you know, herself in this, I guess, in this mix.
Yeah.
That will she be considered the same way as Danica? Because she has plenty of covers, you know, the sexiest athlete and you know, NASCAR and all this stuff and on the Essence magazine.
It's like
and all
two
that.
Shots because she's African-American and she's a woman.
Right. So does she have to climb harder and faster than Danica Patrick? You know?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of, I almost used the T word.
What?
There's a lot of patience in terms of for her arc and Danica's arc in her career. And I think that, you know, I think she's opened the doors for Tia, but ultimately, you know, she got to prove herself on the track.
Well, we will see. We will see. Well, we're very happy, as we're talking about closing out Black History Month, that another young man who we spoke about before on the show,
yep,
Darrell Wallace Jr., is set to make history. He's going to compete in the Truck Series for Kyle Busch's motorsports team next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fourth black driver in the history of NASCAR, so you know Brad Doherty is gassed up.
And he's only 19 years, he's only 19 years old.
And he's ready to do his thing, you know. So shouts out to him. He'll drive the number 54 Toyota truck.
You say that like you're like a Grand Marshal.
Hey, I'm just trying to tell you.
And not that kind of Grand Marshal.
That my crew is Grand Dragon. But so, anyway, you know, the Black Nickery crew respects my little bit of knowledge about the sport. And hopefully we'll have Tia and maybe Daryl on to talk about how they, you know, expect to do. But congratulations to both of them. Sponsored.
Did you mention Grand Dragon?
Why?
Well, because AC Milan's vice president, Paolo Berlusconi.
Hey, you know what? You did better than I would.
He made some comments about Super Mario Balotelli.
Yeah.
The striker.
Now, Berlusconi, he's the younger brother of the club president, Silvio Berlusconi.
Right.
He was filmed. It wasn't just like somebody taped it or he said it in passing.
It's like the coach that tripped it. He said this and, you know, what he was talking. And it wasn't like he was overheard. It was like he was presenting something and he said, hey, you want to get the quote?
As the families, court? He says, as his families, he goes, he's filmed describing the Milan player of African descent as the family's little nigger.
At a political meeting in Mons on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, he said it. And then he laughed. Like, it was like, you know, like he said, you know.
That's my nigga.
Yeah.
fuck out of here. Anyway. Yeah. How many times has Mario Balotelli had to face these kinds of things? It was just in a game just recently against his former fans where he...
At Inter.
Yeah, you know.
He plays for AC Milan and he went to Inter and they, you know, they let him know.
What do they call that? A transfer or whatever?
Yeah.
Like a bus transfer and shit?
You know, like a slave transfer.
Right. Clearly. They're carrying bananas in the crowd
but
and all this stuff.
Forget about the fans, and I'm not justifying their behavior, but this is the brass of your own team making this reference.
And like casual. You know, it wasn't like, I slipped out and said, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the word nigga slipped out when I wasn't looking. You know, it didn't happen like that. And it's sad because he's a great football player. I almost said soccer.
That's okay. But you know what? Is this, and I mean, I'm just, indulge me for a second though. Is this a European thing? Because remember when
Spanish. Well, if you want to know, it's the European thing.
Remember when the Spanish national basketball team took that picture where they made all their eyes slanty.
When they were going to Beijing in 2008.
And it wasn't like, obviously they're very aware of what they're doing. But is there that insensitivity where it's like, oh, it's just...
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You guys are too uptight. You need to learn how to take a joke. But that's not cool, right? Yeah. And as we continue to talk about these kinds of issues, you know, what does it say about the world's beautiful game?
Yes.
As they call it. But whatever. Yes. I mean, even more when we talk about that T word that you didn't want to use earlier.
Right.
Rogers, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Former MLS and U.S. national team midfielder, retired. He's 25. He retired, not because he's injured, not because he's burnt out from playing the game, but because what?
He made an announcement on his blog post saying that he's gay.
Yeah.
But he also felt that football wasn't ready for a gay athlete.
Right.
So he'd rather, you know, come out, do his thing, and retire and move on and not play. And that's kind of... That says something, the fact that he didn't feel comfortable. And it's entirely his choice.
Yeah, but he felt the pressure of not being able to tell or be who he really was around his teammates and friends, or whatever the case might be, because there had, you know, nobody was out there saying, yeah, we have a gay player in MLS or anything like that.
Yep.
And he was just so tired of it that he decided to let it go.
Yeah, and he left the game, which is, you know.
There was an interesting CNN conversation about someone, you know, somebody having to be the gay Jackie Robinson in a sport, being right. That it had to be a highly visible person. And we spoke about this ad nauseum right. on this show. Mm-hmm. So that said, we wish Mr. Rogers the best, and hopefully that sentiment will change sooner than later.
Yeah, and I think also that happening kind of makes you think that changes have to be made. If people like it's not like, you know, he retired and a few years later you find out he's gay. It's like he retired and that was part of the reason why he retired.
Right.
Someone who won't be retiring anytime soon.
Nah, not if you're catching that fat check like that.
Roger Goodell.
Holder of the shield. Protector of the shield.
Making some Dr. Evil money.
$29 million plus in 2011.
In now, 1 year.
But the year before, as we go through all these, you know, salary cap issues and you know, players getting cut, Roger Goodell's salary jumped from $11.6 million in 2010 to $29.49 million in 2011. Wow.
That's insane.
Wow. So, hey, you know, it's good to be the king. It's good to be the king. You know, speaking of the king, there is nobody greater than the field surgeon, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, who restructured his contract to help his team and to make sure that the team was competitive as long as he was on that team.
Right.
So the way the story initially came out is that, you know, Tom Brady was doing it the right way. He was sacrificing for the team. He did was did some fuzzy math and flipped, you know, what he was guaranteed money, which is not against the cap, you know, and spread it out some. So he actually more than doubled his salary to well over, you know, $33 million, right? It was funny. Deadspin did a great job in coming back and saying, you know what? Everybody's saying that Tom Brady is cutting his salary. He actually got it raised. And it was funny after that story came out how people were going, see, Tom Brady did it the right way. Why didn't LeBron James do it this way? I'm like, so LeBron James, who was a free agent, chose to go and play somewhere and actually took far less money than market value that he could have taken to win championships. And somehow that was selfish. But
why are you giving those some people some valuable airtime on All Balls?
My bad.
We need to talk about people like Ronda Rousey, wins her first UFC title.
Shout out to Ronda. And I like Ronda Rousey. That armbar.
Yo, you can't even mess with that armbar.
She was in trouble.
Yeah, she was in trouble. It wasn't a cakewalk.
Liz Carmouche or whatever her name is. Had her locked in, and she fought. She stayed patient. And she locked her out in the first round, made UFC history, you know, and she's a title.
And they made some money. That card made some money.
Who else was on that card?
I don't know.
So that's the point.
You're right.
She's a serious draw.
Henderson Machida.
Yeah, but favorite. Really?
You're right, though.
We're looking forward to seeing more.
I heard they're trying to offer a role in the next Hunger Games movie.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Not that the next one comes out in November, but they're trying to find a role for
What about Gina Carano, B?
Gina Carano's in Fast and Furious. I don't know why. I read a story. She's in the next Fast and the Furious.
I know, but I would love to see them go.
I don't. She hasn't been fighting seriously for a while. I don't think she's going to come back.
Haywire. She did work in that movie.
But the problem is, though, the same reason why Dana didn't want the woman in it is there's not a big field.
Well, apparently, if she made numbers with this pay-per-view, she'll, you know, there may be more.
I think the curiosity there and the marketing is there, but there's not a lot of people for her to fight.
Well, that's the whole problem. That's part of the reason why Layla Ali got out of boxing. But one of the so-called biggest boxing matches in Canadian history that's going to happen very soon.
In Montreal.
Yeah, between Lucien Boutte and Jean Pascal, both former champions. I don't know if they're going to fight at 75 or 68, but whatever the case is, Pascal had a fight that was lined up to fight champion Chad Dawson, light heavyweight champion Chad Dawson, who lost to Andre Ward at 68. But he's like, okay, I can make $700,000 fighting Chad Dawson, or I can make $2 million fighting on my own soil.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to fight Boutte.
They're going to fight, that means something.
Does it mean anything to say it's the biggest fight in Canadian history?
Yeah.
Because it's
too Canadian. It's not the biggest fight. Yeah, it's not the biggest fight ever. The biggest fight
in Canadian history was Shivalo and Muhammad Ali.
Right, but was that... okay, but where do these two guys stand in terms of, like, evenly competing with one another?
Well, you know, it would be interesting because Boutte got beat up by Carl Froch. And Pascal, the last fight he had, he got beat up by a 60-year-old man in Bernard Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So there is some curiosity there, and I'm going to... we're going to make an ABDB field trip.
Yeah, in May.
Let's make it happen. You know, there's a young man who wants to be next. He thinks he can. I think I can. Because he is the can man. You know why, right?
Because he'll beat anybody.
Because anybody can get it. Americans, Africans, Canadians.
Dominicans.
Yeah. Adrian Broner, who is basically Floyd Mayweather light, is on the cusp of superstardom.
Yeah, as Floyd gets older. Sorry to cut you off, but not only in the ring, but in terms of... personality, I almost said swag.
That's why
but
I call personality him
and ad, exactly attitude and just yeah that so that and that's what that's why boxing needs personalities as well as fighters.
Yeah, and I think people fail to realize in this age, you know, guys don't have to fight 42 times in a year to make $50,000 anymore. That's the only reason that Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson fought every 2 weeks is because they had bills to pay.
Exactly.
Floyd Mayweather fought one fight last year, made $85 million, and it was the richest athlete in the world.
And Roger Goodell was mad.
He had to be. Well, speaking of Floyd Mayweather, the straw that stirs the drink and everything.
All roads lead to money.
Always. Just signed a historic 6-fight $200 million deal with Showtime. So he's leaving HBO.
That's a big deal.
It's bigger than Pacquiao leaving for a fight. It's bigger than Mike Tyson leaving.
It tilts the whole landscape.
Totally.
And
that's why Broner means something. Because maybe Broner or Canelo are the next stars for HBO. But right now, again... 6 fights, which I don't think he's going to fight.
That's
those
what I was going to ask you. I don't think he's fighting 6 fights.
Nah, there's going to be a buyout somewhere. There has to be.
Right.
But we know that May 4th, he's going to fight the Ghost, Robert Guerrero, mm-hmm. Who everybody thinks is a tough fight, including Guerrero, who says, yeah, I'm in my prime. Like, Floyd Mayweather can't win for losing. But the bottom line is, his dad is back in his camp now.
Yeah.
People are saying that that's a beef between he and Roger, but... Roger has legal problems as well as health problems.
Right.
So you never know, but I'm sure he's going to be there. May 4th, big fights. I'm ready. Well, are you?
We'll switch it up a bit. I mean, USA Basketball head coach Mike Krzyzewski, who's promised and maintained for a while that he will not be back as
head
coach.
Try to spell gone using the letters of Mike Krzyzewski's name. He's not coming back.
Yeah. Period.
He's been successful, and I think he knows when to say when. He's getting a little bit older.
He wants to spend time with his family, you know.
Is that the Urban Meyer?
Well, Urban Meyer's being paid.
Yeah, now.
But although Jerry Colangelo has not said that it's official yet because he's still going to try and win back. I think he's done. And it was a great run.
So who's next? Popovich?
It's Popovich or it's Doc, but I think Pop is going to get the nod.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know what? Thanks, Coach K, for his contribution to USA basketball. But speaking about basketball in the United States, and in particular, the Southeastern Conference, there are more black coaches in the SEC than any other conference in the country.
That's very interesting.
Think about what they were before Adolph Ruff had his first black player in 1970 in Tom Payne at Kentucky back in the day. And now the guys who are playing are now coaches in this conference.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a guy like Kunzo Martin, who got the job at Tennessee. He's the first black coach. They tried to hire Charlie Strong from Louisville to come coach the football team.
Right.
So it's about... Is it about them being black or is it about them being qualified? Let's hope it's about them being qualified. It's not affirmative action.
I would think so. I mean, also, like, there's a number of black coaches coming out, but the pool is getting bigger, too. Yeah. So it's like, you could say, oh, it's because they're black, but there's a number of blacks, so you can still pick the best one out of all of them.
And we don't want to eliminate Mr. Intense himself, Coach Frank Martin, who's Hispanic American. Coaching at South Carolina. I love Frank Martin.
There you go. Equal, it's all about diversity.
No doubt.
In the SEC.
Yo, we're on the eve of March, and that must mean March Madness is coming soon.
Yeah, and we can't even get into the landscape right now because it's so crazy.
But there are players.
And it's so even.
But there are some, without question. How did University of Michigan lose to Penn State? They just lost. Last night, the first game that Penn State won all year, I'm sure Jerry Sandusky was lurking around the locker rooms. That's the only reason they won. That's it.
But as you said, there are some players, though, that are ahead and above the rest of the players in this.
Well, let's talk about the top three that could be potential players of the year. And the scary part, they're probably all from the Big Ten.
Hey, I've been maintaining, if you listen to TSN, if you one-on-one with Will Dwayne, that the Big Ten has some...
They've had up to six teams ranked in the top 25 all year.
Basketball. Like, the Big Ten tournament itself is
going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
Well, you think about guys like Trey Burke from the University of Michigan, Go Blue. You think about Victor Oladipo.
From Indiana, who's having a phenomenal season.
Young Canadian Anthony Bennett from UNLV. He's in the mix. The preseason, considered the preseason player of the year.
Yep.
And Cody Ziller, who was also on Indiana.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's not going to get it. No. Exactly. No, but you think about,
Sean Thomas, Otto Porter Jr.
He's playing great down the stretch.
He's had a great arc.
He was
quiet, but now as it gets close near the end of the season, he's just getting better and better and stepping up.
And I think he's going to be the Big East player of the year. It's automatic. You like that Ben McLemore from Kansas?
Yeah,
playing great, but they're so up and down. They're indicative of all the Kansas teams. So
forgot Trey Burke.
No, I talked about Trey Burke off the top.
Go Blue, my bad.
Go Blue, come on, man. I can't. You know I got to start off that way
because I'm not going to get into the whole how are they going to fare on the next level question. Because that's for later. That's for later.
But we're talking next level. And we're talking about the diplomat.
The diplomat.
Dennis Rodman. Just went over to South Korea. I almost said South Africa, son.
But you said South Korea.
Yeah. But no, he went to North Korea.
My bad. See, you messed me up.
He went to North Korea.
You know why I'm thinking South Korea? Did you hear what he said when he got there?
What?
He tweeted, he's like, oh, I'm in Korea now. I should check out my boy Gangnam Style. And he added PSY. He added him whatever.
Right.
He's like, yo, dude, I'm in South Korea.
Dennis went over there to shoot this documentary with Vice and some Harlem Globetrotters, some show for HBO.
Spreading the love of basketball.
Well, you know, there are sanctions and issues between North Korea and the United States. But I guess Dennis, the ambassador that he is, went over there.
As you want to be.
Basically. And found out that the leader of South Korea, or North Korea, I keep saying South, North Korea, Kim Jong-un, was a...
I'm not...
You know what? He is a basketball fan, a huge basketball fan.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there's a picture of him wearing a Dennis Rodman Bulls jersey, number 91.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Which
so,
we will post.
And here's the thing. They went over there, and I guess they had a good time shooting. And at the end of it, they plied all these guys with drinks. They got them drunk all night.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman said something that I'm sure is going to come back to haunt him later. He says, "You'll have a friend for life in me."
Oh, yeah. And knowing my boy's advice, I could totally see how that all came about. And we'll get a chance to see it because they shot it off for HBO. Going to be very interesting.
Well, you know, you talked interest. And there's no return with interest for what the Dallas Mavericks did was going out to get Derek Fisher to help them shore up their backcourt. A lot of injuries and stuff early on in the season. And then he decided... I needed to...
No, he got injured. I think he
got injured.
He got injured. Yeah, but... And as he was rehabbing, he said, "Hey, I'm going to stop, take some time for my family."
Right.
And they respectfully, you know, said, "Okay, hey,
let him do his thing.
No problem."
So, but here's the twist in the wind right here, is that when he was, I guess, able to move around and do something, he didn't come back to the Dallas Mavericks.
No.
He... re-signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So who was with the year before?
You know what happened, right?
What happened?
He went home and he was like, "Baby, I'm home." And then his wife and his kids hate him at the house so much, they told him to go back to work. And he's like, "Man,
no, he said,
Dallas really
he's
sucks.
Like, I'm going to try and run the players union." "Oh, okay, I'm going to go back to work."
But Derek Fisher he pulled the okie doke for real.
And don't forget, though, this is the second time the Mavericks have been screwed by an ex-Laker.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom.
Oh. You know what? Well, they got screwed last Sunday, too, when Kobe did him in at the end of the game.
Amnesty that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But last but not least, the fight. The scuffle. Them Pacers think they tough.
The kerfuffle? Because it wasn't a fight.
Yeah,
it was a glorified shoving match.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know what it was? It was Michael Jackson's Bad video. Beat It. It was the Beat It. Where the dudes were dancing around. No, it's a little more physical than that. Steph Curry got thrown around by Roy Hibbert. You know,
David Lee and Roy Hibbert had a little jostling underneath the net.
Between the Pacers and the Golden State Warriors.
They had shoving. You know, it was like shove back again. Someone likened it to two Rams kind of like
going at each other.
Because no one wanted to run any fists because they knew what.
And it still got suspended anyway. Exactly. But I think if they wanted to have a real fight, the two toughest dudes on those teams are
David West
easily. His hands are registered. They are.
Yeah.
And Jared Jack.
Yeah, Jared Jack.
Jared Jack is the truth, though.
I'm surprised you're picking Jared Jack over your boy Draymond Green.
Draymond is a cool guy, and he got. You know,
I'm looking from a fight perspective. Like I see these two in a matchup. Like Jared Jack can't fight.
I think Jared Jack,
but Jared Jack's heart. Yeah, Jared Jack's heart. Sure,
we're assholes.
Oh, we are.
Here we are trying to stop the violence, supposedly, and
we're drawing another card like the ABDB. Boxing affiliation.
Well, you know what the deal is. Our sanctioning body is always open.
Yep.
And what's always open and what's always great is another episode of All Balls Don't Bounce. Episode 67. I think we named everybody.
Yeah, because as we get into the upper stratosphere of those interesting numbers.
Yo, there's only I want to find out those hockey players you were talking about.
Yeah, I'll look them up. But yeah, there's three guys. There's like probably 10 or 11 that have had it in their career.
Do you like Max Pencaretti?
Well, you got it because you bailed me out. I can't remember.
That's what we do.
He held 35 goals last season. I was like, who is this guy?
It's the incredible two-man team. That's what we do.
So, if you haven't already, definitely check us out on Stitcher Radio.
Yes, sir.
iTunes Music Store. On Twitter, @ABD Media. Facebook.com/ABD Media. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Were we wrong? Did we cross any lines?
Nah.
AllBallsDon'tBounce@gmail.com.
Come on, man. You know, really? Really? Well, for my man sitting directly to my left,
Dwayne Sweets Watson.
My name is the entrepreneur, Wall Street, Will Strickland. And I want to say a quick shout out to my man, Juno nominated.
Yes, sir.
Rich Kid, the Grammys of Canada. Congratulations and good luck. Do that thing that you do, Rich. You know what it is. All Balls Don't Bounce. Part of the Gone Network. Easy.
Put your game face on. Get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop. First swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You got to hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks because you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports of what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phases. From the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.